Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There will be a time in the not-too-distant future where I will hear that sounder. It's Football Friday. And it won't mean anything to me. But right now, this minute, in the middle of August...
It means something.
It means a lot.
I am ready to go.
Redskins, Packers, tomorrow night at FedEx Field. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I will quiz you a little bit later in the show, Danny, on a subject I stumbled into online last night that I did very poorly on. I'm just going to tell you this. It's the top 10 in something. I did very poorly on this. It's non-sports related. I'm going to throw it at you, and I want to see how you do.
Okay.
See if you are a little bit more well-versed in this subject.
Okay. Is it music? No, don't give me any hints. No hints.
Was it food?
No hints.
Certainly not food, Brendan. I would do very well on food, as we all know.
We know he's Encyclopedia Britannica in terms of foodstuffs, in terms of music and music history, and overall general music knowledge. He's like Mona Lisa Vito, a general automotive knowledge on the stand of my cousin Vinny when it comes to music.
Former Nationals terrible starting pitcher Guyron Martis. How about that?
Oh, man.
Guy, you don't know where I ate dinner last night.
Cava.
I ate a cava last night.
Pretty much doing that until
the streak is alive and well. Grant Ripken Jr. D. Smith is the leader of the NFL Players Association.
Yes, he is.
He says we're headed for a work stoppage. This is from ESPN.com. Executive Director Demoris Smith told the MMQB, Sports Illustrated, in a video interview posted Thursday, that he expects a work stoppage when the league's collectively bargained agreement expires in 2021. Now, I referenced this yesterday when we were talking about Zeke and the back and forth of statements between the league and the association that they are right now, I think, battling in a way that is the worst that we've ever seen. And as we're getting closer and closer to having to get a new agreement done now, it seems like a long time away, but it's 4 years away. Remember, it was a 10-year deal when they had their last work stoppage.
Yeah, in 2011.
We're over halfway there. They're not getting closer together. They're getting further apart. They like each other less.
Yeah, look at the comments, as you just pointed out. I mean, where there's, you know, shots across the bow at each other. One side calling each other, you know, this is the lowest you've ever stooped. And they said, no, this is the lowest you've ever stooped. It's getting awkward, man. And plus all the incidents that have happened and the way the NFL's handled them, I get where everyone's coming from.
But Demoris Smith went as far as saying that he could see not only a strike or a lockout, but basically a lengthy work stoppage in 2021. Here's a quote. I think the likelihood of either a strike or a lockout is almost a virtual certainty. A certainty, he's saying, for a work stoppage. Quote, so we have a new deal where if it doesn't get fixed, you head into a certain small A Armageddon. I don't know what that means. I'm guessing he's saying a real Armageddon is the end of the world.
Yeah, the real one means we don't have a future.
So this is a small A, meaning not Harry Stamper shooting a nuclear weapon into the middle of a asteroid to save the world while Rockhound is riding the other nuclear warhead around like it's a horse.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be that kind of Armageddon, but he's saying we wouldn't have football. The NFL and its union agreed to the 10-year CBA that we're about midway through now in July of 2011. I was on the Redskins beat at that time watching the players work out on their own without any team sanction ability to get together. That agreement came at the tail end of a 132-day lockout. Now, luckily, it happened over the offseason, and they were able to play. But D. Smith is essentially warning us right now, Danny, that there's a chance we could miss football games. There's a chance this thing could be so bad that it went into the regular season. So I looked up the last time we had work stoppages in each sport.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, for the most part, we have not had a season lost in any sport other than hockey over a decade ago, for the most part in the 2000s. So Major League Baseball has had pretty good union league relationships that have avoided work stoppages since 94.
Everybody came together after that. They realized how toxic and bad that was for the sport, and it's become more localized, and there have been gains in terms of attendance and the dollars, obviously, with TV deals and how that's changed. But I don't know that the game itself has ever truly recovered. And I know some people would disagree with that, but losing the 1994 World Series and how that all went was just so, so toxic and terrible for the game. I know there were gains back when Ripken's streak and the home run chase that we now know is kind of fraudulent, but that was so bad, I think that was kind of the eye-opener for other sports.
If Ripken didn't have his streak in 96 and we didn't have the home run derby in 98, baseball would have paid a much larger price than it did. But I agree with you. There are still people, I talk to them all the time, who like baseball less because of that 94 strike. There was no World Series that year. Luckily, since then, and it's been 23 years, we haven't had issues. In the NHL, they lost a season in hockey in 04-05. Now, the NHL is doing okay in this country. The people that like the NHL love it, and the people that have never liked hockey aren't going to. But I think it's a pretty easy case to make that the league's prosperity would be better off right now without having missed that 04-05 season in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out for some teams like the Washington Capitals when they unloaded and then eventually drafted Alex Ovechkin and came back flying, retooled and reloaded. But that was the last season that was missed in any sport, and that was, again, about 12 or 13 years ago. In the NBA, we've had two shortened seasons with work stoppages. 98-99, they played 50 games. 11-12, the most recent by far of all of the non-NFL work stoppages, 66-game NBA season, you may remember. And that was actually fun because the games were seemingly constant. There wasn't as many weird days off. The schedule was condensed. I actually liked the 66-game season. And it was only, you're talking about, like 16 games less than normal.
Yeah, and I actually think that's how it should be. It'll never happen, of course. But
right.
I think they should play 71 games. I've always felt that way, but they'll never change.
Of course, the NFL, the 2011 lockout, which we mentioned.
Right.
But the idea that we wouldn't have football for an entire fall, can you imagine a September, October, and November where no games were being played? I cannot. I've never had that in my life. It's one of these things that sounds like talking about, like, can you imagine if you just moved to another country where you didn't know anything worked? No, I actually can't imagine it. It's a weird hypothetical. That's what football-less Sundays would be for me. I guess I would become a huge college football fan. I don't know what other fallouts there would be.
Well, they're not going to do what they did in the 80s, which is bring in scab players and have the Redskins succeed when
maybe
that
the
goes
Redskins
down.
Win a Super Bowl again.
Maybe that's the only way
they
to get this
done. They
love
winning Super Bowls when there are years that are botched.
Strike-shortened seasons is their specialty. But the I really do think this is just posturing years in advance, sort of setting this up. It's why you have an attorney, an accomplished one at that, as the head of your players association and not a former player or not a guy that's buddy-buddy with ownership. You do this for these kinds of things. You do this to have a guy to be the voice. It may not be popular among the rank and file who can't go without the paycheck to paycheck, but this is the best way to get what you want is you have to go through all these kind of court proceedings and the like. So go through some of these statements from Demaurice Smith, who's a guy that I respect a great deal, by the way. There have been a couple things, and one of them is a running theme. Two things mainly, I think, are the driving force behind this. And thing number one, and this is the thing the players universally cannot stand, and I think the owners have played this so well, by the way. I think it's brilliant. It's sinister, but it's brilliant. The players cannot stand Roger Goodell. Now, what the players, I think, fail to realize is the owners use Roger Goodell. They pay him $50 million a year, whatever the hell it is, to be their shield, to be the guy that takes all the slings and arrows, and whether the owners are the ones that empower him to do all these different things. They know that their best bargaining chip is having Roger Goodell be the guy that the players hate, who issues the appeals, the discipline, the judge, the jury, the executioner, the whole nine yards. The players hate it, and the owners know that they hate it. So in order to give that back, in order to change that, what are you going to give us? It's the best bargaining chip the owners have. That's number one. Players universally cannot stand the way the league issues fines, suspensions, and everything else. They do that to make the players desperate to get rid of it, so they give something back. That's number one. The second thing is how the owners handle that uncapped year. That, I think, sticks in the craw of a lot of guys that really know best and are kind of informed of this thing at the higher levels of leadership. Go back to that. Obviously, the Redskins suffered the penalty, as did the Cowboys, a lesser one, and a couple other teams, you know, didn't benefit from those moments. They colluded, the owners did. They were able to do some sort of legal wrangling and bookkeeping-type finagling to make it seem as if they didn't, and it held up over appeal. Make no mistake about it, they all had a whisper-whisper, hush-hush agreement that we're not going to increase player salaries, we have an unofficial cap, and that bothered the hell out of the Players Association.
It should have. I mean, if that actually took place, then the Players Association had all the right in the world to be apoplectic. I will not sit here and pretend like when football resumes after a work stoppage, whether it's before the season or halfway through it, or after missing an entire year, if D. Smith is right and there is a lengthy work stoppage in 2021, I'm not going to pretend like I won't be right back in 1,000% on football. I will be. I love the game too much. It's just too much a fabric of my identity, of my entire life. When football's being played in the NFL, I'm going to be there to watch it, and I'm going to be there to watch it on TV when I can't get to the game. But I will be heartbroken, and I do think it will damage the league considerably. Something we want you guys to chime in on next. We will open up the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. D. Smith, having been quoted as saying it is a virtual certainty if something doesn't change, that there is going to be a work stoppage ahead of the 2021 season when the CBA expires, that 10-year agreement from 2011. Do you think that we're headed that way? It certainly looks like it. And what would it mean for the NFL? What would your reaction be as a consumer? That is the question on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.